Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church. We're glad you're joining us for worship today, and we hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for, even during this holiday season. And most of all, we as a church staff are really thankful for you for worshiping with us online. And we do hope to be back in a couple weeks joining together in worship. But for the next several weeks, we're going to be meeting together virtually. But we do have a lot to be thankful for. And so, most importantly, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and has saved us and has forgiven us of our sins. Something else we're also thankful for is all of the shoeboxes that we have collected. You all and several other churches have collected and packed shoeboxes to send to many different children all over the world, and we collected 638. That's 638 lives that are going to be touched for the gospel. So praise God for that. If you are watching virtually or just scrolling through Facebook, you can find our services on Facebook, on our church YouTube page, and at our church website at fbcfloydata.org. And you can watch past sermons and past worship services as well as this one today. And so join us there. We will be back to meeting on December 20th. So mark your calendars for that, and then Sunday school will start again, if all goes well, December 27th. So mark your calendars for that. Also, you can continue to give tithes and offerings online at our website, fbcfloydata.org, or you can mail them in or bring them by the church office whenever it is convenient. Any 2020 contributions must be postmarked by December 31st or brought to the office by December 30th. Our office will be closed on the 31st of December. You can also pick up your 2021 envelopes for your tithes and offerings. Swing by the church office sometime, or when we get back in meeting together, you can pick them up in the hallway as we meet in in-person services. Here soon, shortly, in the next couple weeks, we'll have some poinsettias on display, and they will be available for purchase at $15 each. And you can also pick those up on December 20th. The evening of December 20th, we will have a candlelight service at 6 o'clock. And so we hope you'll join us for that morning as well as that evening for the candlelight service. Unfortunately for our youth, the winter retreat has been rescheduled. We had to postpone it. We've had several in our sponsors and students who have had to quarantine during this time, and so if we pushed it back just a little bit, that'll give us some time after the holidays, and so we have rescheduled that for January 22nd through the 24th, and then our youth potato bake fundraiser will be also on the 24th as well after service. So thank you for joining us this morning, and God bless you.
Well, good morning, church family. This is strange. We're back to virtual church, and it's always strange not having people in the room with me while I'm leading. But I trust that you are worshiping with us from home this morning, and I just pray that your hearts would be set on the Lord as we have entered the Advent season and we are in waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So we're going to start singing Christmas songs. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that's what we've been waiting for all year long. So let's stand together if you would like from home, or just remain seated if you'd like, and we're going to start with Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Jesus Christ is born today. Oh, good morning, kids. Hey, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Now that Thanksgiving's over, let's concentrate on Advent. I hope you all got your box that I delivered to you with a little Advent activity kit in it. Our first candle for Advent is hope. Let's light our candle. Okay. Advent means coming, so we're excited about the coming of the baby Jesus. So let's read a few scriptures about our first candle. Let's read Isaiah 7:14. This says, "All right then, the Lord himself will choose the sign. A child shall be born to a virgin, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us." Let's read another one. Let's read Matthew 1, we're going to read 18 through 25 together. "These are the facts concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her fiancé, being a man of stern principle, decided to break the engagement, but to do it quickly, as he didn't want to publicly disgrace her. As he lay awake considering this, he fell into a dream and saw an angel standing beside him. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you shall call his name Jesus,' meaning Savior, 'for he will save his people from their sins. This will fulfill God's message through his prophets. Listen, the virgin shall conceive a child. She shall give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel,' meaning God with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel commanded and brought Mary home to be his wife. But she remained a virgin until the son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." Our first candle is called the Prophet's Candle. Before Jesus was born, the world was just completely full of darkness. And I don't mean like just turning off your light and standing in a dark room. I'm talking about your heart. It was full of darkness. It was full of sin and anger and hatred. And it was just dark. And because God wants us to do all the great things that he planned for us, he sent a light into the world. And that light was Jesus. Jesus came as a little baby, not as the big, great king that a lot of people anticipated, but he came as a little baby. And this candle is called the Prophet's Candle because God revealed to some prophets long, long, long time before Jesus was born that Jesus was going to be born. So they knew ahead of time, and they were telling people about it. So God did as he promised. He sent Jesus as hope to all of us so that we can be the light in this dark, dark world. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for sending Jesus and giving us hope to a broken, broken world. We just help us to shine our light so that others can see Jesus in us, God. And I just pray that you'll be with all the children this holiday season and help them to remember to put you first. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See y'all next week.
good morning, everyone. I hope that this message finds you doing well. Aren't we blessed to have such talented musicians here in our church? I love when we can change to this time of year where we start playing those favorite Christmas songs that take us back to our childhood, the days of simpler times where we can just look forward to Christmas morning and that everything is going to be great and that we can get ready for a new year, something a little bit better than last. Today is November 29th. It is the first Sunday in Advent, and our theme is hope. We so desperately need hope during these days. But before we get into that, let's talk about really what is hope. Many of us kind of use the modern use of the term of hope and not our strong biblical connection to hope. But, you know, we hope that things go well for you. We hope that it'll be better tomorrow. It's kind of a wishful thinking or maybe even an optimistic type hope where you can look at a difficult situation and hope that we can put together something good out of it. You know, it's like when you drop a plate or something like that on the kitchen floor and you hope you can make beautiful artwork and a mosaic out of the broken tile pieces, something like that. But when we talk about hope, especially when we proclaim that there is a true hope that belongs to the Christian, what we're talking about is this biblical understanding of hope that is rooted in the character and nature of God. Hope that has a secure assurance of something that will happen. It's not just looking at a bad situation and hoping that things will be better. It is looking at a bad situation with the expectation that God will take this situation to where He is leading history to. And as we study our Bible and as we look how God has intervened in historical past, we can see that He has promises to intervene in the present and in the future. And our hope is rooted in those promises. It's not just a wishful thinking or a cheery disposition on life, but it is truly trusting in a trustworthy God. It is knowing that God has not failed us in the past, He is not failing us in the present, and that He will not fail us in the future. For when the time was right, God chose to send Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin that first Christmas morning. In these weeks leading up to Christmas Day, we will talk about the themes of the season. It is a strong foundation of hope, of peace, of joy, and love. It is how we can find joy in this difficult time of testing that we are living in. And that's what 2020 has been for us. It has been trials and testing of our faith. We will see that some have gone through this period and they have fallen away. It breaks my heart to know that, but we will see that many of us who have called on the name of the Lord, who have persevered to the end where God is leading us to, that our faith will be made stronger. If you're old enough to look back on your life, you will realize that some of the most difficult trials that you have gone through have really pushed you to where God was taking you, or that would grow you to become the person that God was creating you to be. You know, when we look back, some of those difficult days we wish we would not have lived through, but we wouldn't change it because we have been pushed in a direction that we'd have never known we would have been. We have been taught to treasure those simple things and not take life for granted, for we don't know when just the assembling together might come to end or be back and those kind of things. You know, many times that when we look at life, we don't really regret things until they're gone. We don't know how much we treasure them until we don't have them anymore. And I'm not just talking about material things. There are some material things that may bring you joy, but most of the time, the material things that bring you the most joy is not the thing itself, but it is the memory or the experience that is attached to it. And so Let's look at the scripture today. And one of those characters that is so prominent in the Christmas story is John the Baptist. And I don't know if it's so much in the Christmas story, but without John, we wouldn't have made the way for Jesus. And so let's look at the story of John. In the Gospel of Luke, he tells the whole account of the story of John the Baptist. In the first chapter of Luke, starting in verse 5, you can read the whole thing if you like. Verse 5 through about 25 tells the story of John's birth. So John had two parents. Of course, that's kind of how you're born. You have two parents. Zechariah's father, he was a priest in the line of Abijah. I think I said that right. If not, that's how you say it, so then I'm right. And so he was a priest. His mother, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. You know, Moses and Aaron from the Old Testament. They were both righteous and blameless in the eyes of the Lord. They were good people. But they were also advanced in years. And even though they had a loving marriage, they had no children. And Zechariah, when he was his turn came to do his priestly duties, he was in the temple lighting incense and all those kind of priestly functions that they did there in Jesus' day. He had an angelic visitation. So he was visited by the angel Gabriel, who would proclaim to him that his prayers had been heard. Through these years, it's not that they didn't want kids, that they'd prayed earnestly to God. They lived righteously and blameless. And so if a good person is going to be listened to, this is a couple that God should have listened to. You know, if we use a system of checks and balances. But the angel Gabriel proclaims to Zechariah that we have heard your prayer and that Elizabeth will bear a son and you will name him John. And that he will not have any strong drink or drink wine all the days of his life, and that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that he will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. This is the prophecies of the Old Testament are being fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. This is the promises that all those promises in the past where God said a deliverer would come, they are being combined into the person of John the Baptist, and he would be set apart. He had good, God-fearing parents who lived righteously, you know, sinless kind of in the eyes of the church, and they were to be rewarded with a son. But Zechariah, you know, he was also a realist. He saw the situation that they were in. He knew that Elizabeth was beyond the years of having a baby, but as in the times in the past that when God promised a child, like to Abraham, for example, even though age was a factor, it wasn't a factor for God. For God is not limited by the realities that we see ourselves in. God's not limited by human ability. God can do what God wants to do. And in this case, God used a holy, righteous couple to bear the child who would make way the land for Jesus, the Messiah. And of course, Zechariah kind of questioned the angel. And as a result, the angel says, this is how you'll know that you will no longer be able to speak until the child is born. And so Zechariah is made mute. He's delayed in his round. So all the other priests that were on duty that day know something's going on. And when he came out, he's unable to speak. And he asked for a writing tablet so he can begin telling the story of this angel. You know, I always thought in this story, so Elizabeth isn't currently pregnant. And her husband comes home unable to speak. And so now he has to start writing it all down and telling everything. How do you think it went with Elizabeth? Was she excited? Was she scared? Was she nervous? What would that have been like? But we know that as time passed, that she becomes pregnant, and she basically just marvels at the situation and how truly blessed she is to be a mother after all of these years, and a mother of a promised child who will do great things for God. I mean, can we want more for our children but to grow up and do great things for God? You know, sometimes we look, we want our kids to grow up and be successful and famous and all those kind of things. But in reality, what we truly want as Christians, as believers, is for our children to grow up and do great things for God. And this season of Christmas is really, for many of us, about the children. It's about the birth of a baby and all the excitement and how our Savior came to be born, just like every one of us, who became Emmanuel, God with us, and dwelt among us. It is the magic of this season that we try to instill in our children. Even as messed up as our culture has twisted Christmas to be with its material things, that essence is still there in our American culture of how beautiful this time of year is. While they want to get rid of Christ, they can't get rid of what God has done for us in the past and what He promises to do for us in the future. And this is why we can have our hope based on Christ. You know, in the Bible, hope is really used for this idea of waiting. It is to hope for something to come to pass. It is to wait for things to come to pass. In the Old Testament, there's two different ways to use it. It is kind of the hope to wait for, or a hope which is or to wait in kind of a tension. In the Bible, this word is used from this tension for a farmer. Many of you may understand this, is that once you plant your seeds in the ground, there is this tension of what will take place until the harvest. It is you have done the work of preparing the soil. You have done the work to get the seeds in the ground. You have done the work to set up irrigation and all that kind of stuff. All the things that we have at our disposal, even in our modern sense of farming, you have done everything. But there's that tension there of waiting. That seed has to sprout, and the weather has to be just right, because we know when that crop is young and tender, that a strong wind or lack of rain or too much rain can damage that young plant. And then it has to grow. And then we know this year that with that ice storm, that if you had some plants that you had planted later and you were trying to just get them through, maybe we'll have a late frost. But no, we had that early ice storm that if your plant wasn't mature by then, it just ruined it. It's that tension between when the seed is in the ground and when the harvest comes. Wait for hope. And that's where we're at in life. We're in that period of tension between when God sent Jesus Christ that first Christmas day to live a normal life like every one of us, and to go into ministry 30 years later and to be hung on a cross for our sins. That tension that's there. But our hope is built in to the idea of who God is, of our rescue, of where He is taking us as a humanity, as our future. We know that only few will find the way of the cross. Many will hear of its message but fall away. And those who persevere to the end, they will come to harvest. Their life will not be lived in vain. Their life will not be wasted, because we have the strong security of what God has promised in the past and how He has fulfilled those through people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and through their child who is raised with the Spirit of God in him to do great things for the kingdom. But yet, even this couple, as great as they were, as heroes of the faith, they lived righteous lives by the law. They set their son apart. I mean, he was in the wilderness when he was called into ministry, wearing, you know, camel's hair and a leather belt and eating locust and honey and all those strange things that we know about John the Baptist. He had retreated from society because we know that society can corrupt you. He was away from those temptations, and he was being prepared by God to preach a message of repentance. But Jesus considered him the greatest of the Old Testament, the greatest of the prophets, the greatest born of flesh, but the least in the kingdom of heaven. He considered that because God's plan of salvation had not yet been fulfilled through the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. We celebrate Christmas morning not because of the birth of a baby, but because of the death of that child, the life that was taken for our sins, for our actions. That is why we can celebrate, because we have been liberated from the bonds of death and given new life. And that is why we can have hope even in this difficult situation that we find ourselves in today, because God has set us free. And we await, as those children of God did, for the birth of their Messiah. We wait for Christ to come back so that we may not have to live through these difficult days where people get sick and die and accidents take loved ones prematurely. But we have the hope that everything is being drawn to God's conclusion, and that we will all be liberated from the difficulty of these lives, and we will taste death no more. And that our hope is truly built on God's promises, as it was in this story of John the Baptist. Well, the story continues for John, or for his parents at this time. Another young girl named Mary is also visited by an angel. This is a cousin of theirs. And she comes to spend some time with Elizabeth, trying to, again, process everything that is going on. And when when Elizabeth hears Mary speak, the baby jumps in her womb. He knows his part even before he is born on what his calling is. It is to be the one who prepares his way for Jesus. We see the song of Mary, and then we hear of the prophecies of his father, of Zechariah, as the chapter 1 continues. Well, let's read a little bit of that. If you've got your Bibles, turn to chapter 1, verse 67. It says, Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. It says, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouths of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus, he has shown the mercy promised to his ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he had swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemy, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and to the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is John is talking about. The child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. This is a prophecy of what John the Baptist would become and do. Isn't it beautiful that he prepared the way not so that we would escape to heaven, but so that we could live in our days as holy and righteous before God, that we would have the knowledge of salvation, and that we could live with confidence and the hope of a strong future, because what God has done in the past, the promises that he gave to the ancestors, has been fulfilled through the work of John the Baptist as he's prepared the way for Jesus for that first Christmas Sunday, so that we may live in that knowledge and have the strength no matter the days that are around us. Their days were difficult. Our days may be difficult, but the promise continues. And in the third chapter, we pick up the story of John's ministry. It says he was in the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler over Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region in Iturea and Tecclonisus and so other places that are hard to say, but I can say Abilene. during the high priesthood of Ananias and Sapphira. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the regions around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crook shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham, even now as the axe laying at the root of the tree. Every tree therefore that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds ask him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with another one. Who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and he asked, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. Soldiers also asked him, what would we do? And he said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. And the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their heart concerning John whether he could be the Messiah. John answered them by saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And the winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granaries. But the shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod the ruler, who had rebuked him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added them all by shutting up John in prison. And so John fades away from the scene. But that is why we are called today. Not so that we can escape the punishment that we so rightly deserve, but that we can live in this world better because we are being filled with the Spirit. That we are actually able to realize that we have been forgiven and that we have been set free to be who God has created us to be. That we can see the needs in others, that if we have extra, we are able to share that extra with the least fortunate. If we have a job, we don't take advantage of others. If we have employees, we pay them a fair wage, so on and so forth. That we live a kingdom ethic in this life. That we see others as they are created by God. They may be fallen and have not found the forgiveness that we have found, but they were all created by God for a purpose. And for those who never surrender their life to the call of Christ, the promise there is secure as well. There is a winnowing fork, and the good will be separated from the bad. The good will prosper, but the bad will find that unquenchable fire. And so today I ask you, where would you fall? Would you be the shaft that is thrown into the fire? Are you that precious fruit that Jesus came to save? For that's what this season is about. It is about the culmination of history and God's salvation's plan. We are not perfect by birth. We are fallen. We are prone to our own insecurities. We put pride. We put ambition. We put ourselves, our family, all kind of things before God. But this season reminds us, as we await for Christmas Day, that we have been called by God to live in this world differently than the world, to not have this fear that just grips our body and leaves us paralyzed, but gives us the strength and the power of God and the discernment of our heart to live in this world differently, so that we can show this world what true hope is. Not that a hope we're going to get better or beyond this pandemic because humanity is going to create a vaccine and we're going to eradicate it with drugs and all this kind of stuff, but a hope that's built on the promise of God that during these difficult days, I will have to make tough choices. I will have to make choices that place others before me. That I will have to make choices that because I don't like wearing a mask, I may put on a mask because I love other people. And if I'm sick and don't know it, I don't want to make them sick. And there's many other things. Maybe you're in an industry that has flourished during this time. There are many others that have not. Maybe you've been put in a place that you were able to share more generously than you were in the past. But remember who you are. You're a sinner who needs grace. And God sent His Son Jesus to be born that Christmas day so that you may find His mercy as He has called you to be one of His own, that He laid down His life for you so that you may have a life in this world. And as we long, as we wait for Christ to return so that we don't live through these difficult days, we are still given a purpose to live by the hope that is in us and show the world that it doesn't matter what trust you put in, if it's not in God, there is no assurance. And that the hope I found in Jesus Christ is the only hope that truly matters. Dwell on these things today. Dwell on these things during this season of the year as we wait for Christmas Day, that it is through the miracle of Christ that we can truly live in this world. Go with me to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for today. We are thankful for your witnesses and the work and ministry of John the Baptist, one of those heroes of the faith, who even without the knowledge of the resurrection could show us how to live. But we know that his life was limited in this world because Jesus had not yet fulfilled that ultimate promise of the Messiah to deliver us from sins. And we who claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have surrendered our life to him are filled with his Spirit can truly be stronger than that great witness of John the Baptist because Christ lives in us. We have become little Christ in this world, carrying the beacon of hope to the lost. It doesn't matter what humanity can do, that without Jesus Christ, they are truly lost. So Lord, give us your strength, your wisdom, your discernment, and your words. So as we interact with others during these days, that they may know there is something different about us by the way we live, that we have hope during difficult days. It is in your name we all pray together. Amen. Just about forgot to mention that if you need to speak with me or one of our staff members, you can reach us here at the church at 806-983-3755. You can call my cell phone, 983-1755, or you can get us on our website at fbcfloydata.org. May you be blessed. Stay safe this season. Amen.